Okay, it says, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Now, the Bible is very precise. Notice it doesn't say last days. It says latter times. Latter times will be the ending days of the church time period prior to the rapture, or the Bible calls it a translation. And so he says that some shall depart from the faith. And then giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Okay, who's promoting that? Verse 2, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Forbidding to marry. I think I know an organization that does that. And commanding to abstain from meats. I think I know an organization that does that too. Which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused, if it be received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, what things? Verse 3, an organization that forbids somebody to marry and commands people to abstain from meats. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a narrow-minded bigot, and the news media is not going to like you. Ain't that the truth? Thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine whereunto thou hast attained. That organization I just mentioned about verse 3, last spring in 2014, sang their mass to Lucifer, God, and this Christ, the son of Lucifer. They're not hiding it. You can find it. So, of course, they don't know who Lucifer is because their Bible takes him out and puts Jesus in his place. So, verse 6, if thou put the brethren to remembrance of these things. Let's see. But refuse profane and old wives' fables and exercise thyself rather to godliness. But for bodily exercise profiteth little. But godliness is profitable in all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach because we trust in the living God who is the Savior of all men, especially those that believe. These things command and teach, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example to believers in word and conversation and charity and spirit and faith and purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that's in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things, give thyself wholly to them in thy profiting, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself, and unto the doctrine, continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Okay, save thyself from what? Is that salvation of the soul? Or is it save thyself from, verse 1, deception? And that's what he's talking about. So we don't depart from the faith, we don't give heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. And let's go ahead and pray. Lord, I do ask you to help us to be faithful to you. And I already know from the Bible that you are faithful to every person, saved or lost. They're lost. You are faithfully witnessing to he or she. And if they're saved, you are faithful to continue to work in their life. And I pray you'd help us to be faithful to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, in verse 1, it's a shame, but this whole chapter is about the falling away of many in this age. And if you've been in the church long enough, you've seen this, and I've been in the ministry long enough that I could just name after name after name, person after person that I knew that are, you know, into some wacky idea, left the ministry, doing something. And I don't judge these people per se. I feel sorry for them. I see them as wounded soldiers for Christ. Some of them have gone AWOL. Some of them jumped on the other side, and that's how I view them, because it's but by the grace of God it can happen to any of us. But the idea of this falling away in the latter days, this is the latter times of the church time period. The word last days is referring to the tribulation. And it usually starts in the schools or Christian schools, and the falling away is clearly they're falling away from the final authority, meaning the Word of God. Okay, now in verse 9 it mentions a faithful saying. That is found four times, all by Paul, written to Timothy and Titus. So we're going to look at all four of them. A faithful saying. Now, common sayings, what people say and utter, is one way to really prove the power of the Bible. I don't care who it is. If they're a Satanist, an evolutionist, an atheist, a liberal, a conservative, a fundamentalist, everybody utters something from the Bible probably every day, unbeknownst to them. Common sayings, what people say, is what proves the power of the Bible. Okay, I'll give you a few. Some of these you may know. In Genesis chapter 3, you have somebody that took the words out of God's mouth. You ever hear that saying? She took the words out of my mouth. That's Genesis 3. He's a snake in the grass. That's Genesis 3. He bit the dust. That's Genesis 3. Ladies often put something reddish on their lips. I think they do that still today. If that was a grape, what Adam and Eve partook of, she would have had stained lips. That's kind of strange. You find in Genesis chapter 6 that Noah warned the people, don't miss the boat. But you see, those people didn't have the sense of coming out of the rain. And those are common sayings. And now we put the product of those people in our gas tank. It's called fossil fuels. Well, Jacob had a birthright, but you see, it wasn't worth a hill of beans to him. And then later on, he pulled the wool over the eyes of his dad. And his dad said, something smells funny here. And that would be because Jacob was dressed like Esau. Joseph warned his brothers, don't have a falling out. He warned about that. And then when you get into Genesis or Exodus chapter 12, somebody says, don't paint the town red. Well, that's Passover when they put their blood on the doorposts and everything. And Jonah, that poor guy was down in the mouth. And poor Jonah, you know, he's the first submarine sandwich. And poor Jonah was down in the dumps in Genesis chapter, or in Jonah chapter 4. And even sailors say, we got a Jonah on this boat. Because they often worry about a storm. But you sometimes a little birdie might tell you something. In Ecclesiastes chapter 10. But you know that money talks, Ecclesiastes chapter 10. Now, if you're working late at night, you're burning a midnight oil, even though you don't have an oil lamp anywhere. You get that out of Matthew 25. And the Lord Jesus Christ is going to come back and smite them in the hinder parts. I like that part. The Lord Jesus Christ comes back. But yet people say, well, he's in hot water. Go jump in a lake. Common saying. People say it all the time. I saw a young fella in a prison down at Rensselaer Tuck, and he had Born to be Wild right here on his arm tattooed. And I told him, I said, man, you got a Bible verse on your arm. Did you know that? He's a Pentecostal kid. And he said, I got a Bible verse on my arm? Yes, it's in Job chapter 11, verse 12. There it says that a man is born wild like unto a wild... I'm sorry, the man is born like unto a wild ass's colt. And he got it. I said, yeah, you are like a jackass, aren't you, pal? You're stubborn, you run around late at night. Right? And the guy said, yeah, I have to say you're right. Yeah, he's born to be wild. He got that right out of the Bible. And we do this all the time. People say it all the time. I remember watching a football game. This quarterback was just getting nailed. First time quarterback. And I heard the announcer say, boy, he got a baptism of fire. Where did he come up with that? He got that out of the Bible. And at the end of the broadcast, they'll say, and that about winds it up. You'll find that in Acts chapter 5. The Bible is what determines our words, our communication. Everybody says it. Man, it's hot as... And when somebody says that, just walk up to them, shake their hand, and say, man, I didn't think anybody believed hell was still hot these days. I sure hope you're not going there. Guys in jail would usually ask me what time it was, and I'd say, it's time to get saved. Are you ready? And they stopped asking me what time it was. But you see, common sayings, we say them all the time. You probably hear them every day. And if you stay tuned to those things, you'll see that man will continue to say those things. And it's a common thing. It's just common. And we see that the Bible, meaning the King James Bible, is not only up to date, it is far into the future. 2,000 years ago, this Bible predicted 666 is going to be used to control people economically. 2,500 years ago, the Bible predicted a one-world religion under the United Nations. 2,500 years ago. And when people take their monster drink and they lift that up and they have them lime green 3 sixes on their can, and they don't know that they're drinking bull testosterone. Holy cow, Batman, I didn't know that was coming. And they'll say, unleash the beast. You'll find that in Revelation chapter 13. Common sayings is what makes this book come alive. And if you start paying attention to what people say, I don't care if they don't go to church, I don't care if they don't go to church, I don't care if they're an atheist or a Satanist, everybody agrees with the Bible to some extent. Everybody does. And when you listen to their words, you're going to discover this book is telling us what's happening. If we just read this book and we discover these things. Now, he said in verse 9, he said, this is a faithful saying. Okay, this is a faithful saying. God is faithful to fulfill his promises to his children in order for us to stay faithful. When a child of God is not faithful to God, it's not God's fault. It's our fault. And we need to point the finger at ourselves because that's where it's at. There are certain Bible characters that we would say they're big namers in the Christian world. And these men, God said they were faithful. Abraham, Moses, Samuel, David, Daniel. That's some big namers. And God says they were faithful. Ruth was a virtuous woman during times of rampant apostasy and filth. But she was a virtuous woman. So that tells us, here are these people, the men that I listed, Abraham, Moses, Samuel, David, and Daniel, did not have the indwelling of the Spirit of God. They did not have a complete revelation of the Bible, and neither did Ruth. But yet, these people remained faithful during times of apostasy, and that means that any child of God can remain faithful to his God during times of apostasy. If we don't, it's not God's fault. So we'll look at the first faithful saying, 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15. This is where a man gets in. A man or woman gets in with God's faithfulness right here. Now God faithfully witnesses to every individual on this earth before they're saved. God is the one doing the witnessing. Even though we may not be faithfully doing it, God is faithfully witnessing to them. And then we can add some icing on the cake, put a little sprinkles on top of the cake when we throw in our 2 cents or the widow's mite, you know, common saying. And so when we throw that stuff in there, it is a blessing to God. The first one is in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15, and it says this, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. This saying, whatever this saying is, it is such a good saying that it is worthy to everybody to accept it. If everybody would accept this saying, it is most certainly worthy. And what is this saying? That Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And Paul threw in a P.S., of whom I am chief. Now, if a guy is a studier of religions, and I encourage you to study religion, look at Buddhism, look at Taoism, look at Islam. I mean, look at this stuff. Judaism and all these kind of things, look at them, and you're going to see that there is nobody that compares to Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is worthy to be accepted. His offer that he fulfilled on the day of Calvary, when he paid for the sins of mankind, there is nobody that has ever done anything close to what Jesus Christ. Muhammad is not worthy of your acceptance. I don't care what they say. He's not a prophet. He never prophesied. He stole his own son's wife to add to his 20-some kids or wives. And then he married a girl when she was 9 years old. I think we call that a pedophile. I don't think that's worthy of acceptation. Buddha had a couple kids die because he wouldn't work. Karl Marx was a guy that was so lazy that he tried to get everybody to redistribute their wealth to him. Charles Darwin, what a joke. The guy never was a scientist. His only degree was a degree in religion. That's why the evolutionary theory is a religious theory. It is a blind faith following a religious statement. Charles Darwin, what a joke. Charlie Brown's written more intellectual things than Charles Darwin did. I mean, if you read Joe Smith, the founder of the Mormons, I mean, the guy would just keep adding wives here, adding wives there, adding wives there. And I mean, what a joke. He has proved to be a liar. You got to wear special goggles to read his Bible. I mean, the golden plates. What a joke. Judge Rutherford and Pastor Russell, the JWs, another couple of pairs of clowns. All the clowns aren't in a circus. Many of them start religions. You see, and that's a fact. I mean, if you just honestly, objectively look at religious founders and look at religions, the common element of religions is that they all believe in some form of goodness. Now, that they might vary on it, but that's their common ground, is they all believe in some form of goodness. The Jewish faith summarizes it with the golden rule. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. That's a summary of the Old Testament or Judaism. Now, in the Christian faith, yeah, we believe there's got to be some form of goodness. Most absolutely. The difference is we don't believe it's in ourselves. It's in Jesus Christ. You see, that's the unique difference. You see, the Mormon, or he's got to follow all these things. And if you want to find a place where women are hooked on medication, go to Salt Lake City. I mean, you talk about the pill popping women in Salt Lake City, it's because these Mormon women and mothers are trying to uphold some standard of Christianity without Christ, and they can't do it. And I tell you, they're just popping them like crazy. You see, and so the Lord Jesus Christ, what he did at Calvary, there's nobody that's ever done anything close to that. That is worthy of all acceptation. Right there. Richard Dawkins, the guy who adamantly believes in the evolutionary theory. I mean, what a clown. If you push him and push him and push him, he'll tell you that he thinks aliens started this. And that's where it's heading. Okay? That's where they're going to come up with the answers. Salvation offered by the Lord Jesus Christ is absolutely and totally worthy to be accepted for eternal life. Okay? Now that, 1 Timothy chapter 4. Now, once a person is justified, there's something, hopefully, that we would follow up with that. And just not take salvation full and free in Jesus Christ and do nothing for him? Talk about ingrates. There's something that God has given to every born-again believer that we can now be faithful to him. In verse 9 it says, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. What is a faithful saying? You go to the previous verse. The previous verse states, bodily exercise profiteth little. So notice that it does profit. It does profit. Okay? It profits a little bit. And so that's why we need to have some form of exercise. I tell you what just drives me crazy is when I see Bible believers dying in their 30s. You know, I just heard of one Bible believer, 35 years old, dying of colon cancer. The Bible says that we reap what we sow. If we sow to the flesh, we're going to reap of the flesh corruption. And that is dealing a lot of times with our eating habits. Granted, I know that sometimes God takes a man out. I understand all that. But we do reap what we sow. And if a guy is going to put junk in his body, he is going to get sick. And it's going to be self-afflicting. And if we just consider that the international corporations that are making these so-called foods do not have our best interests at heart. And a pharmaceutical industry does not have our best interests at heart. And if it would be against one's faith to follow the traditions of religion, then why do we follow the traditional medicinal ideas? It just drives me crazy to see people like this dying at such a young age. You know, accidents is one thing, but colon cancer is the number one cancer. And a lot of times it can be traced right to what we're eating, what we're putting in our body. It does affect us. And the thing is godliness does profit, but exercise does profit. We got to keep the blood flowing in our body. You know, when I'm doing holding a sign out there on the road street preaching or whatever, I'm doing toe lifts at the same time. I'm doing something to try to keep the body going. Okay? And so godliness is profitable in all things. So sometimes people get in a health nut and they dump God. And that's not wise. I mean, we got to take care of our body, but yet also the key is godliness is profitable in all things. Sanctification is offered by the Holy Ghost, and that is worthy to be accepted, verse 9. If a man is justified, then this man has the capability to be sanctified, to live a godly life. God has promised that you will not be tempted above that you're able. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 30. That's a promise. Granted, I know there's times that we're going to feel like it. Well, I can't handle this, Lord. I can't handle this. And he says, I'll be the judge of that. And so he's promised that. He's also promised that God is faithful, that he will keep us from evil. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. That's a promise. He has also promised in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 that your body, soul, and spirit will be preserved blameless until the coming of the Lord. And God is praying that we fulfill that promise. God has promised that even when we fail Him, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Even when we fail Him, He is faithful to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now that is an offer given to every born-again believer. Well, why is it that so many fall away? Why is it that we see this? There's a fellow down in Rensselaer. I met him while he was in the Pokey, the Gray Bar Motel, gave him a track, witnessed to him. He made a profession of faith. Got justified. You can get a clear-cut testimony out of this man, but before he was saved, he had a problem with the bottle. Well, because he got justified, that was taken care of. That was taken care of. But he kept going back to it, kept going back to it, kept going back to it. And he'd get a victory for a while, then he'd go back to it. You know, there are some sins that we can give up instantaneously because of salvation. But then there are some sins that just constantly harass us, called the besetting sin. And that was his issue. I mean, that was his problem. And one time, they was going through a wedding in a family. He wasn't invited because nobody liked him. And so he was mad about that. And so his way to overcome that anger and to be upset is he got drinking, you know, all that stuff. And right before the reception that night, that afternoon, they're going to have a reception at the KFC Hall down there in Rensselaer. That's Knights of Columbus. And so you can see what faith is a part of. And he called me up on the phone, and I could hear, man, Dave, what are you doing, Dave? And I said, what are you doing? He said, well, I'm going to go blow up the KFC Hall. If nobody was in there, I didn't know if I thought that's such a bad idea. I don't know, but I was trying, you know, okay, why is this? And of course, the guys, you know, a lot of people are talk. But with this gentleman, when drinking got mixed with MTV, that was dynamite. Okay, and so we're on the phone, and I can hear MTV in the background. And so I said, is there some music there that Jesus Christ would not approve of? Yeah. And I said, turn it off. He turned it off. And so we got talking a little bit, and I was trying to talk him out, stay out of it. And I said, let me pray for you. So I got praying, and he said, I'm ready to pray. So he got praying. And then I said, I helped him in his prayer instead of, you know, God, thank you for the sun and the tree and the moon. I got that a little more specific. I said, pray this. Pray that the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses my mind. May the blood of Jesus Christ cleanse me. I'm tired. I'm going to bed. I said, me too. Thank you very much. Good night. Hung up the phone. Saturday night, Sunday morning, he came to church. Eyes bloodshot. And he said, whoa, what the blood of Christ did for me last night? I said, yeah, it works, doesn't it? Every believer's got that capability. God has promised that. Well, come Monday, you know what came out. Calls me on the phone. What's you doing? I said, yeah, I can tell what you're doing. I said, how about the blood of Christ today? He said, not today. Not today. He didn't want to hit the power switch. He's had that problem ever since. You see, he's had that problem ever since that day. Why? He's not hitting the power switch. Sanctification is worthy to be accepted. You see, and we can live a godly life through Jesus Christ. Okay, the next faithful saying is 2 Timothy chapter 2. What if tough things happen to the believer? Okay, for example, there's a fellow named Richard Wurmbrand who was in prison for 17 years. I don't know if it's Romania or Bulgaria, I forget which one. For 17 years he was in prison as a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ. 3 years in solitary confinement. And during those 3 years, he would preach to himself, and then he would say, there is no God. He'd lose his faith. He was saved throughout the whole process. And the reason why is he just got beat down and beat down and beat down, and he gave up. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 11, it says this. Can that happen to a believer? Yet it can happen to a believer. 2 Timothy 2, verse 11. It is a faithful saying. Okay, here's the saying. For if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. That's a promise. How do we die with Jesus Christ? Well, it's by faith in Christ. Then you're put in Christ. And mysteriously, you're put at Calvary. And hence, I am crucified with Christ. Hence, I died with Christ, and the promise is I shall live with him. That's a promise. That's eternal security right there in that verse. Promise right there. Jesus Christ said, except you be born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God, and you cannot enter it. So the promise is, because of the new birth, you are promised to enter in, see the kingdom of God, referring to the millennial kingdom. But the promise is not to be a partaker of the reign with Christ. The promise is you get eternal life. Verse 11, you get to live with him. There's a step up. Verse 12. If we suffer, okay, sometimes the suffering is overbearing, it seems to be, for the believer. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. Deny us what? Salvation? No, verse 12, the reign. That's what verse 11 is salvation. Verse 12 is after salvation, where he's offering the opportunity to work for Christ during the millennial time period. And if you're a owner of a company and you're going to have somebody work for you, I think you have a different attitude than them walking in and buying a product. If they're going to actually work for you, you're going to have some qualifications they're going to have to meet. And if Jesus Christ is going to need some folks to work for him in a millennial time period, there are some qualifications we have to meet. So verse 12, if a man is unfaithful during the suffering, he loses reward, but he does not lose salvation. Verse 13, if we believe not, if he even to the point where he loses faith, it says this, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself. God steps in. God cannot deny himself. Why? Because he got saved, verse 11. You see, suffering is allowed by God to enhance a greater reward in eternity. God is faithful. We may not be, but God is faithful. And we can trust in His faithfulness. Suffering, a loss of faith, but God Himself is faithful. You know, there are many atheists, and I don't shy away talking from atheists, but if it's a younger individual that's an atheist, I've learned that generally they are an atheist because they want to live the way they want to live. Okay, now if it's an older person that's an atheist, I've learned that there is probably some tragic event that took place in their life, and they feel that God did not intervene. And since He didn't intervene for them during this tragic loss or whatever thing they went through, then they say, okay, then there's not a God. But in reality, you know, these people are reverse hypocrites. Meaning, they feel that God should have intervened in a terrible situation when there were some things in their own life that they could have intervened for somebody and didn't do it. But yet they're judging God for it. The silence of God is often what throws people. And you see, the idea of suffering allowed by God, there is nobody that suffered like Jesus Christ did, who did not deserve any of the suffering. But you and I often, sometimes the suffering that we go through, if we analyze it, we might have to say, yeah, tag, that was me, I did that. I didn't change the oil in the engine enough, and that's why it blew. It's my fault. It's like my honeybees, you know, they died last. I didn't feed them some sugar water. It's my fault. You just got to fess up. Okay, but the suffering is allowed by God to enhance a greater reward for eternity. And the last thing is in Titus chapter 3. It's a service for Jesus Christ. To serve the Lord Jesus Christ. It is an honor to serve Jesus Christ. To be able to speak up for Jesus Christ. To give somebody a gospel tract. That is an honor and a privilege on our part to be a part of God's work. God don't need us. He doesn't need us to do these things. But boy, it's an honor to be a part of it. Titus chapter 3, verse 8, this is a faithful saying. And these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and acceptable unto men. This is a service for God. Faithfulness is rewarded at the judgment seat. Not talent. Not charisma. Faithfulness is rewarded at the judgment seat. Thou good and faithful servant, thou hast been faithful in a few, and so forth. You've been faithful in little. You see, that's what's going to be rewarded at the judgment seat. Faithfulness. You see, but we live in a day and age, if a young person can, when they're looking for a job, if they could get to work on time, work hard, do what they're told, keep their mouth shut, they'll never want for a job. Kids nowadays, they can't even get to work on time. And they've got their cell phone, it's got an alarm clock. And it can wake them up. But on the way to work, they're going back and forth. And, oh, did you hear what happened to Susie? She broke her fingernail. I mean, just disgusting. You see? And so the idea is service, faithfulness. Hollywood gives people a false sense of life. And, of course, we got a generation's rate. What do they think life is all about? It goes from one excitement to the next. This excitement. A Japanese man who watched American television for a little while, and he said, here's my description of American television. Smack, smack, bang, bang. Smack, smack was kiss, kiss. You know, and everybody's romantically in love. The romantic love where, oh, honey, be near me. In about 3 months, it's get away from me, you stink. I mean, come on. I mean, you see some of these scenes early in the morning, they're kissing each other. You don't do that in the morning. Disgusting smell. Okay, but you see, the world thinks everything's all excitement. I'm telling you, life, most of life is sag, bag, and drag. And a lot of times, when a person can enjoy the mundane, that's where happiness steps in. Being faithful to the mundane things of life. Oh, we have a new little baby. Isn't it wonderful? Yeah, it is. 4,000 dirty, stinking diapers. There's going to be mundane in there. And when we can enjoy those times, that's when happiness steps in. Life is not one thrill to another. Life is full of the mundane. And what God does, that's when He's watching us. You know, that's when He's watching during those times. You know, a housewife doing the laundry, doing this, doing that, whatever. Or when she don't got time, maybe He can help her out. You know, washing dishes, of course, that's when you got a dishwasher. Thank God for that. But all those things, it's the faithful times. It's being faithful during the boring times. The older you get, boredom is wonderful. I mean, walking through a woods where nobody's making noise is nice. Turn off the radio. Turn off the cell phones and drive down a road with no noise. Is nice. Quietness, peace, solitude. You see, service will be honored by the Lord in glory when we are faithful. You know, years ago, you know, if you look at pastors of churches, you know what the average stay of a pastor is in a church? 2 years is average. 2 years. Why is that? It's because they're not laughing at his jokes anymore. After 2 years. Ha ha. Dad, you're so corny. That's because I like sweet corn, dear. Ha ha ha. I mean, you just get over that stuff. You know, and the thing of 2 years, and the reason why after about 2 years, a man feels like nobody's listened to him, his ministry's done, people are yawning during service. Just, you know, I don't mind yawning. Snoring does bother me sometimes. You know, but even at that, you just realize, and at 2 years, between 2 to 3 years, it's like a wall hits them. Sometimes athletes, especially in basketball, they'll talk about 82-game season. There's a wall that hits them about February. Okay? And as far as pastoring a church, about 2 to 3 years, there's going to be a wall that's going to hit them. And this is why they leave. They don't make it through. You see, now being raised in a farm, how does a farmer escape his problems? Pick up his dirt and go someplace else? Yeah, like right, that's hard to do. You got to face it. You got to work through it. And you see, that's the difference between a lot of times country folk and city folk, where city folk will jump on this and jump off as fast as they'll jump on. And when they don't like what's going on here, they'll just pick up and move. And leave somebody else to clean up the mess. Where raised on a farm, you got to face your issues. Okay? And the thing is, in the ministry, you got to face it. And in life, you got to just face it, stop, slow down, and let God work you through it. I hit that wall down there in Rensselaer a few years back. You know, probably about 4 or 5 years into it. And one thing, what I like to do for our encouragement is walk through a cemetery. Not at nighttime, but I like to walk through a cemetery. And I look at a tombstone. And I see the name. I see the age. And I wonder where they're at. And I wonder how many people affected their lives. And you go and then you see, oh, an obelisk. I see that. Oh, another obelisk. Oh, the inverted star. Oh, see all that. That seems to show up in those places. And I'm walking through the Rensselaer little cemetery there on Buncombe Road. And I'm saying, look at you. You're a punk. Pastor. 50 people. Yeah, right. Who are you kidding? You ain't going to amount to anything. You're a nobody. And that's the way it's going to be for you. And it's like, okay, forget this. Yeah, and I'm tired of this. And I walk across a tombstone. There's a tombstone. And somebody in the late 1800s put an inscription on a tombstone and said, "He that is faithful in least is faithful in much." Luke 16:10. I looked at that and I said, "I got your message, Lord. I got it. I'm going to do that. I'm going to stay faithful to that." And today is my 28th anniversary down at Rensselaer. I'm going to stay faithful to that. I would have never dreamed I'd be getting emails from people around the world saying, asking this Bible question, you know, appreciate this reference Bible, thank you for what you put online, and all that stuff. I'd have never dreamed that would have happened. I expected to stay in a little rental tuck. You know, people that still don't have it in first gear down there. But you see why? Is God wants us to be faithful. And God is watching us to be faithful. Life, the secret about happiness in life is to enjoy the mundane things of life. And the same goes in the ministry. Same goes in our Christian walk. I mean, when a person first gets saved, man, they're all excited. They're running like crazy. They're all excited. And after about 6 months, it's just like everything else. It's when you love Jesus Christ and you stay faithful to Him and keep staying faithful and faithful until you see that faithful God face to face. Okay, let's pray. Lord, I do pray that by chance if someone in this room has never considered You, the Lord Jesus Christ, help them to consider that You are worthy of all acceptation. There is nobody who ever walked on this earth like Thee. None. There is nobody that has offered such a marvelous plan of salvation like You did. And Lord, once if somebody, when they accept that, help us realize that You have given every child of God what they need to live a godly life, to suffer and serve their Savior and be faithful until they see You face to face. And all of us fail. And Lord, thank You for Your faithfulness. And help us to tap into the power of Your faithfulness so that we might remain faithful to Thee. While heads bowed and eyes are closed, if you've never considered Jesus Christ, I would suggest to analyze Him and compare all so-called religious founders and then look at the differences and you're going to see that there is nobody like Jesus Christ. And if you have considered Him and have trusted Him for salvation, then that God, that faithful God, has given you everything that you need to live a godly life and to suffer and serve for Him, with Him. And it's just a matter of us being faithful to tap into His power to do that. Even during times of apostasy, during times of like nothing seems to be happening, preach the word, be instant in season and out of season. Heads bowed and eyes are closed, the piano will play, the altar's open. There is absolutely nobody like the Lord Jesus Christ. What He did at Calvary, you can honor God Almighty by receiving Jesus Christ by grace through faith, by coming to Him and Him alone. If you're uncertain of that, ask somebody. And they'll bring you to, if they're not able to tell you, they'll bring you to somebody to show you. God is faithful. He wants us to be faithful. Lord, thank You for Your words, and I pray that You'd help us to be faithful to You. Thank You that You've given us everything that we need to be faithful to You, to live a godly life, to serve You, to even suffer. We don't like to think about that. But yeah, that's a possibility. And Lord, I pray You'd help us to be faithful until we see You, our faithful and true witness, the Lord Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.